I'd like to call this special council meeting to order.
Never mind, don't text.
He's using our clock. Thank you one and all for coming today. This is our first special council meeting of 2018. I'd like to acknowledge that both the press and the public have been duly notified in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. The purpose is beach restoration. We have a project that's taking place right now in the Wild Dunes. I'm glad to say that sand is pumping as we speak. However, it's come to our attention that there is another deficit of sand, 281,000 cubic yards that we need to address. And that's why we're calling this meeting tonight. And we need to talk about the financing if we want to go forward with trying to cover the cost of that sand. So if you don't mind, we're going to have Debbie Suggs talk about our financing of what we've got in place so far.
So I think we're going to start with me.
Okay.
That's okay. And then Stephen is going to talk, and then Debbie and I will try to talk about the numbers so that we're clear on this. This is the results of Hurricane Irma and sand losses, like you mentioned, with Hurricane Irma. So 281,000 cubic yards of sand were measured as lost within the project area, basically in the area from 53rd to Dewey's Inlet, which is the project area. We were aware of this sand loss in late December. All of the current seated council then and council-elect was sent a communication indicating that we had measured these losses. But our thinking then was that this action should wait until the new council was sworn in and seated before we made a decision, so that everyone was comfortable with the newly elected council addressing this decision as opposed to the outgoing council. So that's why we are here today, and I wanted to emphasize that that was a deliberate decision. And this has been the earliest that we could get everyone together once everyone was sworn in since that time. So since we had Ways and Means tonight anyway, it was a good time to call this special meeting regarding the sand losses. So for the benefit of some of you in attendance and for the benefit of the newly seated council members, I think it would be appropriate for Stephen Trenum, who is with Coastal Science and Engineering, to come forward and kind of do a brief overview and summary of what this relationship related to our sand on the Isle of Palms Beach has been and sort of bring us to today. So if it's the will of council, I think for the benefit of the new people who are here and some of the new folks out in the audience, we'll ask Stephen to come forward. And Stephen, if you'll adjust that mic and make sure it's switched on over there, please. Like I say, Stephen is with Coastal Science and Engineering, and Coastal Science and Engineering is the engineering firm that has assisted the city since late 2007. Should have an on and off switch. There you go.
Pull it towards you.
Yeah, pull it towards you. There you go.
Thank you.
Good job.
Yeah, thank you for having me here. I'm Stephen Trenum with Coastal Science and Engineering, and I'd give you just a little bit of a background for those in the audience and on council who are new about myself and our company. Our company was founded in 1984 by Dr. Tim Khanna, and we've done a lot of the locally sponsored projects in South Carolina, North Carolina. We have worked as far as New York out on Long Island. We also have done some international work periodically, but we've been around a long time in the state working at just about every developed beach community in the state at one point or another. I've been with the company for 10 years. I've been managing the Isle of Palms project basically since I started there in 2007. It was my, I was kind of an assistant project manager for the 2008 project, and I've been doing all the monitoring reports for the beach since then. I do have a master's degree in marine science from the University of South Carolina, a coastal engineering certificate from Old Dominion University, and have taken just about all the courses for a coastal engineering master's degree as well. So. That being said, I've been managing projects for CSC, including the Edisto Beach project, projects at Keough Island and Seabrook Island, doing the design and management of those construction projects a couple of years ago, and then helping out with projects in North Carolina and New York as well. So I've been very familiar. We do anywhere between one and three projects a year. We're a pretty small company, but we like to kind of brag on the size and the quality of the projects we do. And we've been kind of have a reputation for performing well with large-scale, big projects. Like the Nags Head project that we did several years ago was the largest locally funded project. It was 4.6 million cubic yards at a cost of about $30 million. And they paid for that all using local funds, and we were the engineers for that. It was also the first project using an offshore dredge out in the Outer Banks area. So we like to brag on these big projects because we put a lot of heart and soul into them. And that's about it for our company. Like I said, I've been monitoring the beach here.
Yeah, some people are having a hard time hearing you, so.
We've been monitoring the Isle of Palms every year, at least once a year, sometimes twice a year. And then if there is a big storm event, which has happened regularly, we'll monitor the beach after a storm event. So we have a network of over 100 profile lines that we do to monitor the entire island, all the way from Breach Inlet to the Dewey's Inlet shoreline at the Wild Dunes. In the Wild Dunes area, our lines are 200 feet apart, so we have a very detailed picture of how the sand's been moving around for the past 10 years. And that data goes all the way out past the inlet a couple of miles. So we have a good idea of how all the sand moves around. And the eastern end of the island is one of the most dynamic areas of the state, especially in areas where there are developed properties in the area that's influenced by an inlet. And that's something that we've had to manage, and that's why we've had so much interaction over the past 10 years. Sand migrates around the delta and breaks off and kind of attaches to the beach and shoals, which is great because it adds sand to the system, but it also causes very fast, very dramatic erosion adjacent to those shoals. And we understand the process very well, but we can't predict exactly where these shoals will attach and what direction the sand's going to go when it attaches, because it's all due to the weather that occurs over weeks and months and years. So we understand what's going on, but it's something that you just kind of have to monitor and deal with as it happens. So in it started in about 2004, where we had some pretty significant erosion occurring at the eastern end of the island. It wasn't until 2007 when action was really started to be needed, and we were hired by the Wild Dunes community to do a feasibility study to see what was the problem, what were the alternatives for restoration. And we developed a nourishment plan, and that culminated into the 2008 restoration project. And during that time period, the city took management from the Wild Dunes and kind of partnered with them, but the city took responsibility for overseeing the entire beach and overseeing that project. So that's kind of when it took, the city took ownership of the beach and started to manage it. So the 2008 project pumped about 900,000 yards of sand on the beach. And that was the area between 53rd Avenue and about the 17th hole of the Lynx course. Following that, we monitored it again every year. We did the environmental monitoring that the permits required. And around 2010, as part of the overall strategy, we recommended that the city pursue a permit that would allow them to take some of this shoal sand that as it attaches and spread it out to try to work with the sand so that you weren't doing a big project all the time. Because we knew that with these shoals, it was going to happen. We had this very fast localized erosion. So the city sought the permit, and in 2012 we did the first shoal management project. And that was done to kind of help out some localized erosion around the Ocean Club area. In 2014, erosion was still ongoing. There was a big channel shifting event out in the delta. So there was a lot of sand moving around and coming towards the beach, but it wasn't getting to the beach fast enough to re-nourish it naturally. So in 2014, we actually did another shoal project where the equipment went out to the shoal, scraped that sand, and restored it. So we still had that permit in place to be able to do work, but after that, there really wasn't a lot of sand available to transfer at that point. So we knew that down the road we're going to have to do another big project, which was kind of the overall plan, is infrequent large-scale projects, and then if there is hotspot erosion, we would manage the hotspot erosion through the shoal projects. Also during that time, we had certain regimes and property owners putting in sandbags and these experimental wave dissipation systems. Once that happened, the city could no longer use their permit while those structures were in place. As a condition of the permit, we could not put any sand in front of or behind the erosion control structures. So we weren't able to do any shoal management projects, even when there was available sand, because those structures were in place, and I don't think there was willingness to take those out without a guarantee that there was going to be sufficient sand in place for, you know, several years. And the only way to do that is with a large scale project. So that kind of led us to, in 2015, applying for a permit, or starting the work to apply for a permit for another large scale project. So we submitted that permit application in 2016, and we got the permits in 2017, put out the bids, which were opened and actually came back very favorable. In 2008, the unit price for the sand was about $8.50 per cubic yard, and plus a couple million dollar mobilization fee. This year, we were expecting, based off of what we were hearing about the dredge industry and the availability, that the price would be a little bit higher. Fuel costs has gone up, things like that, so we were expecting, you know, anywhere from $8 to $10 a yard. But when we got the bids back, they were actually right around $6 a yard, which is a very good price in any dredging project. And that a lot of that is due to the design and allowing the dredgers to construct an efficient project. So we lay out the bar areas in an efficient manner so the dredge can work efficiently. They have nice full sections, so they'll get a wide beach, which is easier for them to pump. So we got that good price, which is great. In developing this project, we established an estimated budget, which was based off of that $10 per cubic yard estimate, plus a mobilization charge, which again, we were assuming was gonna be $2.5 to $3 million. And then plus the engineering, monitoring, and things like that, that got the project budget up to close to $15 million with contingency. So that's where the original project budget for this last project originated from. When we did the permit, the original design, again, was based off of the 2015 condition. And at that point, we hadn't had Hurricane Joaquin, we hadn't had Hurricane Matthew, and we hadn't had Hurricane Irma. So Hurricane Joaquin did take a good bit of sand from the beach. However, the way FEMA calculates it, they include the whole delta. So if we measured sand in the whole delta, it actually did not show any losses if you add up all that sand that's way offshore. And that was kind of an unfortunate case in Joaquin, but worked out in our favor in Hurricane Matthew, where we showed a certain loss on the beach, but there was actually more loss out in the delta the way FEMA measured it, and that worked out to be about 260,000 yards. So FEMA's, we worked with FEMA, and then since that occurred in a engineered beach area that's been properly monitored with a maintenance plan, FEMA's agreed to reimburse the city for 75% of the cost to restore that sand. So we worked out with FEMA that they would pay a prorated share of the mobilization for this project plus the amount of pumping for that $260,000. When Hurricane Irma hit, now we're in 2017. We already have the project designed and bid, and we lost about 280,000 yards. So that kind of puts us to where we're at now, whereas FEMA's agreed again in theory, if everything works out and gets final approval, to do a cost share for 281,000 yards. So that would allow the city to add that sand that was lost at a quarter on the dollar, which again, you already had a good price to start with, but now having a FEMA share of it, it is a very good opportunity to put that sand back. The need to, currently, FEMA, the process where we're at with FEMA is they're working on the final approval, but we have to have a permit in place to allow that extra work. So we've already submitted a permit modification request to the state and to the Corps of Engineers for that additional sand, which they said wouldn't be a problem, that they can turn that around in-house fairly quickly. So expect that modification in the next week, or maybe 2 weeks, hopefully, if all the state works the way that it should. But once we have that, then the FEMA can approve those funds. As far as how that works with our project, the dredger really needs to know as soon as they can so that we can put the sand in before they finish the beach, especially. But we'd really like to have it before they finish much of any section so that we can go ahead and adjust that so they only have to do it one time. What we don't want them to have to do is, worst case scenario, is basically finish the project, have to break back a lot of the pipe, and then kind of start fresh and build another mini project on top of it. That's less efficient for them. So in order to get the best price from them to be able to do this at the rate that they bid at that alternate price, we really need to try to have that up front. So that's why the city is trying to preemptively get approval on funding so that we can not have to wait for them to then approve the funding and be too late for the dredger to be able to do the work efficiently. As far as the need for this additional sand, the offshore projects, they're preferred because they add sand to the system. If you imagine your beach is a big sandbox, you have a certain volume. The shoal management projects work to kind of identify site-specific small-scale erosion, but they're not making your beach any bigger. They're just kind of moving sand around, which, again, can be an appropriate strategy in this situation. But once you have a sand deficit and you have a total lack of sand that would support a healthy beach, you have to add sand to the system. So these offshore projects add sand to the system. So you have your dredge already mobilized. You've already paid for that. And you have a very good, favorable bid on the unit cost. Whether you had FEMA funding or not, we would recommend put as much sand as you can afford out on the beach because you've already paid for the dredging and have a good price. Now that FEMA's there to offset some of the cost, it's even more of an incentive to put as much sand on the beach as you can to make up for some of these losses from the storms. Even though Joaquin didn't measure according to FEMA, you still have losses on the beach. And then with Matthew and now Irma, you've had over 500,000 yards of sand that we can document is gone from the system. So we're trying to put as much of that back as possible. So our recommendation is to put that full amount of FEMA sand on the beach. I do commend the city and their efforts to lead the law change a couple of years ago to enact that beach preservation fee to help establish a long-term funding source. Our company always recommends that communities find that long-term funding source for beach restoration. We don't advocate borrowing money because we know that's not sustainable for beach work. And we've worked with several towns, including towns of Nags Head, to establish whether it's special tax districts, things like that, but any kind of strategy so that 10 years down the road, when it's time to do another project, you can write the check for it and not have to borrow sand. The city's done a great job working with the lobbying stakeholders, the resort, community association, all the individual regimes to build kind of a partnership and building these funds up. So again, we think y'all have done a very good job on that. But we also think that even with this special circumstance and the good unit price, it's a very advantageous opportunity for the city to get a good bit of sand for pretty reasonable cost.
I also want to add that Stephen has suggested that the project may have greater longevity if we go ahead and take advantage of this now. And there will be some downdrift of sand, so there are areas of the beach that, while our permit covers it to be renourished down on this end, we're not doing that project now. So when you view this project, putting the additional sand there does have some long-term downdrift benefit to other areas of the beach where the city does not have funding identified to do renourishment at this time. So that is an additional benefit to think about as you consider this decision.
Right, and that's the idea of you're adding sand to the sandbox. You're making your island bigger by doing the offshore project. And eventually that sand will work, a lot of it will work down coast immediately. And immediately being it will start moving, but it will take decades for it to move all the way down to Breach Inlet. Some of it will move to the north, get back into the inlet and the delta system and work its way around and could be in there for the next several decades. But you're adding sand to that whole sandbox.
So I want to add too that what at staff level what we were faced with was, of course, we have been working with FEMA ever since Irma to try to recover losses associated with it, and this project being one of them. And to date, while the state did agree to pick up the 25% local share of the Matthew losses, which pretty much puts us very close to 100% recovered, to date the state has not agreed to pick up the local share on the Irma losses. So we didn't want to be in a position where we were working hard with FEMA and pushing them to get us a decision about whether or not they would give us an answer before our dredger leaves, or expeditiously, so that we could put the dredger to work, unless we were confident that this body and the stakeholders were willing to make up the local share difference, which is approximately $500,000. The stakeholders, when I refer to stakeholders, obviously every member of the public, every citizen of Isle of Palms is a stakeholder in the beach. When I refer to stakeholders, I'm basically referring to the groups that have actually put money into this project. And so at Mayor Carroll's direction, we did send a communication out to the stakeholders. You all received a copy of a response from one of them that the city received on Friday of last week. Friday of last week. So the Wild Dunes Resort has indicated that they're willing to put in an additional $150,000 towards that $500,000 to help offset the expense. They also made some proposals related to some other things, but those are really not applicable. I think they were just trying to make some suggestions related to cash flow, which was, it was a nice gesture, but those revenues, when they do come to the city, are general fund monies. They're not tourism monies, and typically the city has made it a practice for its share of these things to fund them out of tourism monies. So you all have received a schedule from the city treasurer that shows that if it is the will of this group to move forward with funding this additional roughly $500,000, less the $150,000 that the resort has indicated that they are willing to put in to facilitate this, that using the contingency money that is in the project, which I do want to point out that a portion of that almost $600,000 contingency that's already built into the project, is some of that is stakeholder money, and also using the beach preservation fee fund, which of course that's the fund that we have established for the purpose of beach preservation on the entire 7 miles of beach. We could make this work. Now we would be faced with, if we made the decision to use the contingency, we're very early in the project. So if in fact there were some sort of problem during the course of construction, we might be having to revisit what the source of the money would be to be able to fund whatever that problem might be. We're not anticipating anything, but as we know, this is an effort that's going to go on through basically the end of March, and we are here at the beginning of January, so we don't really know. And I would want you guys to truly understand that if we made the decision to fund it this way, that we would be taking that risk, and there would be the possibility that either the stakeholders, the other contributors to the project, or the city would need to get together again to figure out how we would deal with that particular situation. So, you know, if it is the will of the group to move forward and put this additional sand on the beach, then it is possible to do it within the funding that we have available. As you know, the beach preservation fee continues to replenish itself. It's a function of people staying in accommodations and paying that fee. In fact, the resort also offered to estimate what their revenues would be on that and to offer those up front, but that's not something that I would recommend because that would be based on estimates and it could get really cloudy with the accounting on that. So I don't suggest that as an alternative. Those funds will be coming to the city anyway. And then the other thing that I want to emphasize is that assuming we had an affirmative decision today, there is still no guarantee that FEMA is going to come through for us in a timely fashion so that we can get this done as we're contemplating it. We certainly hope so, and I do believe, you know, it might be necessary for there to be some DC level intervention and push to be able to make it happen, but we didn't want to take that step until we were confident that we could make up this $500,000 local share.
I would just like to add, to kind of put what we're talking about into perspective with 281,000 yards. If you spread that over the project area, it adds about 50 feet of extra sand across that project area. And On average, the whole eastern end of the island can lose anywhere from 30 to 50,000 yards a year. Now, that's an average. Some years it can lose 150,000 yards. Some years it can gain that much. But just on average over long term. So we're thinking about a three-year benefit for what it would add for project lifespan.
The other thing I want to emphasize, and I'm confident that Treasurer Suggs will be willing to answer questions or make any comments too, is that I think from the what I'd like for you all to remember is that when the budget was built, it does have the possibility of a loan for the city's part of its share of this beach restoration project. And it also has the debt service on that loan in it. In 2008, we borrowed money to do the 2008 project. It was a six-year term on that sand debt, and we paid it off. So when we built the budget for this beach restoration project, that was based on estimates. And the only way for us to make up the gap for purposes of the budgeting was to include that loan in there. We're now sitting in a little bit different situation in that now we have an actual bid, we have actual cost, it's not based on projected cost. And so we're in a little bit better position that way. Still can't really predict what the next 3 months are gonna hold with the project, but I think that everyone is committed to trying to execute this project without the city having to borrow any money.
Can I just offer, for purposes of clarity, I met with Linda and Debbie this morning because I had my own questions. For clarity, there's two separate funding lines. One is the $1.2 million from the council that you're referring to, which was a loan amount. Separate from that is a $500,000. So I asked that we look at these separately and determine, because it hasn't been clarity around whether we would indeed need to borrow the $1.2 million. But when we talk about local share of the $500,000 and potentially not needing a loan for that, when you start looking at the money that's being contributed by Wild Dunes and others, that $500,000 reduces pretty quickly, where the city share of that, you know, could be made up from the contingency fund or other funds. So I think, I'm assuming all of you haven't paid as much attention to it maybe as I have, trying to understand the numbers, but those two items are separate.
Yes, sir.
So we've secured some funding for this project from the state on the previous hurricane.
Correct.
And you said we haven't had any feedback from the state on this as well. What is our approach to the state right now? Where are their stance is it, and where we fall is the possibility of recuperating some of that funding.
So we have not heard anything on the local share for the Matthew losses to suggest that those losses are going to be covered.
Irma.
I'm sorry, Irma. There's right. been too many storms.
I know, Irma.
Joaquin.
Right. Irma.
Irma. So we have not heard anything. We have continued to ask, you know, periodically, and of course, we're not the only local government that is faced with this circumstance, that in order to recover, you know, and be 100% whole, you've either got to have insurance proceeds to cover the losses or FEMA reimbursement, and then you still have the local share. So there are other local governments hoping that the 25% local share of losses from Irma will be covered, but we have not had any positive. Obviously, if that happens, that would be great, and we probably would just be asking you guys to approve additional 281,000 cubic yards of sand and that change order to the project and no funding associated with it.
Historically, with previous projects, the contingency funds that we've had, have we had to dig into those with the 2008 project?
It's an excellent question. I did not go back and look at the history. We had money left over.
We added a change order to add sand around the golf course side, the inlet side. We had about 25,000 cubic yards of sand there. I'm not sure if that money came out of a contingency fund or if that was done in the bidding and was, I'm not sure what stage that happened in. But I don't think there were any, from the construction side, I'm not sure from the city side, but I don't think there was anything from the contractor or construction that would have required that contingency fund.
I do remember clearly that we had a significant amount from the funds that we amassed to do the 2008 project. We had a significant amount of funds remaining, and a portion of those funds were used for the subsequent two shoal management projects that were cost shared between the financial stakeholders and the city. And then even in this project budget, there was close to $200,000 of stakeholder funds that was remaining from holdover from other projects. So so we haven't ever exhausted, since we started this initiative, we have not ever exhausted available funds.
And I think we've gone through and had, to the tune of almost $500,000, I think, left over in, like I said, continue to use that. Yes, it just over $500,000 and able to utilize that for projects later on, years down the road as well. So, not even, I mean, I think we even extended or expanded some of that dredging as well, because we knew we were going to have a surplus in funds.
Right.
So Linda, the question I still have, the actual amount that we think we would need, it was up to $500,000, but it was around $450,000. If you take the $150,000 that's being contributed, we're discussing $300,000, which still leaves us with contingency money.
Right.
Correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Linda, with regards to the state issue, do we know whether or not the state has any unobligated funds left for beach renourishment?
You're talking about for the PRT funds? In this round, I do not believe that they do. They have requested additional funding for the subsequent budget year, but as you know, we'll have to wait for that to go through the state budget cycle. I know that the executive budget does have, I want to say it's about $11 million, if my memory serves me correctly, that is being asked for by PRT for a recapitalization of their funding. And in fact, I sent recently to Representative Satilli a quick note that said, please support this $11 million for beach restoration. And he responded that the executive budget is not one that they typically use. So I guess, you know, the point is there's going to be a lot of deliberations. But I don't believe that that future source of funds is something that we could rely on for that. It is something to think about, though, as we look at the permits that we have for, and I couldn't remember if it was 10th Avenue to breach or 14th to breach.
I believe it was 14th.
14th to breach. Because we currently do not have any structure to execute a project in the future in that area. So those are things to think about as well for an additional recapitalization on the PRT money, Parks, Recreation, and Tourism money.
Outside of the funding, I have some questions about the project itself that,
okay.
You don't mind. I was interested, so before Irma, the projection for this beach restoration project for the life of it, or how long would it take us to a time when we would have to do another major restoration project? What was that initially projected
when,
at before Irma?
When we, anytime we do a beach project design, we kind of have a number that we shoot for. So this was about 1 million yards, and that we, you know, based off of average losses. And again, this area is a lot different than Myrtle Beach, because Myrtle Beach is just a long, slow, gradual erosion. Mm-hmm. Here, you can be accreting 100 feet in one area and eroding 100 feet in another area. And that's just not something that you can accurately forecast out. So again, putting as much sand as possible is great, but we say about a 10-year lifespan is what we hope to achieve with that. Now, it might take, again, some manipulation due to these hotspot erosions here. But a 10-year. Now, in the permit, we know we have that million-yard kind of goal, but we asked for $1.4 million in the event that bid prices come back lower, or if the project's delayed a couple of years, it kind of allows some flexibility. So when the bid prices came back so low, then we were able to do that full permitted quantity within the budget that we had already established.
And so when you added in the extra, every time you add in extra sand, you anticipate that you're extending the life of
correct.
That particular project.
Correct.
So what, if we are able to go ahead and add in what we're talking about right now, does it take us beyond 10 years?
Yes, it should take you beyond where it would have been without it. And again, I have a hard time trying to nail down a time frame here just because of how dynamic it is, but if we add this change order in, we're looking at double the amount of sand we had with the last project. We're pretty close to it. We're confident that it will last maybe not double the length, but there was still a good bit of sand in portions of this area and in other areas that was all the sand had gone, you know, a while ago. So we would be looking at anywhere maybe hopefully 15 years. Again, it will take some management and manipulation, but the more you can add, the better.
And will we actually maybe be overcompensating for what we lost in Irma? Or no?
Well, again, you lost a little over 500,000 yards. So if we look at just where we were in 2015 designing a million, then you add in that 500,000, you're a million and a half yards just to kind of get back to where we had thought the design was going to be. So, you know, really by adding this in, you're compensating for what was lost. You're not going too far beyond, you know, replacing that.
And how do you decide what you do with that extra sand? And especially since you're kind of on the fly adding it in.
Well, we did another last minute survey because the beach has changed so much since Hurricane Irma. We surveyed it right after the storm, and last week we surveyed it again, and there's areas that have built out over 100 feet, and there's areas that have lost over 100 feet just in those couple of months. So we would put more of the sand in those areas that have shown more recent erosion, which is kind of the central part of the project area. Which is actually beneficial for the dredgers anyway. And it also, I'm trying to get closer to the mic again. It also works to put more sand at the center will allow that to spread to the adjacent areas as time goes on.
And do you have a projection for how much sand you would lose for the drift, either to the north or the south?
Again, the long-term average, and this is, you know, looking at decades of average, is around 50,000 yards per year. But in some years, we'll measure 150,000 yards, especially times when shoals aren't actively attaching, which is kind of where we're at right now. And that's why the area around the property owner's beach house is eroding pretty bad right now, because those shoals are pretty offshore. They're not right at the beach. So we expect for the next couple of years that area will be a hot spot. So we're likely to, we're in more of an erosional state right now than we would be in an accretional state in that area. Now, if you look at the Ocean Club barrier, the very eastern end, or even around Beachwood East right now, has been gaining for the past couple of months, and that's gaining at the expense of that center area. So you have to kind of look at a big average here, but then also you can't manage on the average. You have to manage on the local spots because of the, you know, the average doesn't matter if there are still buildings that are in jeopardy.
And just one more question, the kind of hope that this will take us 15 years out, does that include the possibility or the likelihood that we would have future storms? Like, do you anticipate within that we're going to have more storm events that will...
Yeah, because it's built on a historical average, it builds in historical storms. Now, it's not going to build in repeated storms every year like we've had the past 3 years. But if you kind of, again, look at the long term, then yes, it does.
Thank you.
Stephen, you said just now that we had lost 500,000. Is that across the entire island?
That's just in the FEMA area north of 53rd Avenue.
Why is that different than 281? I'm sorry, I just...
Because that adds in Hurricane Matthew.
Oh, the both
as well.
Between both Hurricane Matthew and Hurricane Irma.
Gotcha.
Well, do you have a number of the sand we've lost across the entire island?
I don't have that off the top of my head. I have to go back and look. We have that number available.
We do have the data.
I just can't remember it.
That'd be nice to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can give that to you.
Do you have like a gut, just in terms of comparison? Like, is it half as much?
It's probably less than half as much.
Okay.
So I would guess probably anywhere from 100 to 200,000 yards, if that. It may not even be that high.
Okay.
Do you think we'll have to continue to do shoal management?
I think it's a tool that needs to be available should the situation arise. Because again, there may be times where the majority of the beach is very healthy and you have a lot of sand that's accessible, and that is your cheapest alternative to do short-term kind of fixes. And the hope is that you can buy enough time with that you kind of flip to the accretional cycle like the area is in now. If we could have bought enough time, and we did, it took some extra effort with emergency protective measures, but that area is back into an accretional cycle. So that's the idea, is you can buy enough time with available sand so that these erosional patterns can flip to the better cycle. But it is a tool that I think the city needs to have out there, and if there's ever an effort from the state laws or things to kind of get that change where those projects aren't allowed, then you don't want that. You don't necessarily want to use the tool unnecessarily, but you want to have the ability to.
Councilman Ward?
I'm just reviewing the Beach Restoration Fund revenue and expenditures, and I understand all the numbers, but I had a couple of questions about the beach preservation fee revenue versus the expenditures in the budget. Now, we have a debit balance in revenue, which we're taking means we're taking up all our revenue plus an additional $304,000. On the revenue side, now understand we're not going to go and borrow money, so that will eliminate on the expenditure side the debt service principal, $141,500, debt service interest, $27,000. And this all looks pretty good. I just have a question about we're going to have a very low balance in this beach preservation fee. As this is calculated, which has been some major changes to it, it shows a deficit of $838,000. But the only, I think we can take care of everything. The only thing that I'm concerned about is relatively, well, it's material, but it's not that huge of an item, is the ongoing monitoring of the island shoreline and provide for extra monitoring at Beach Inlet if necessary, $75,000, and provision for legal fees of $10,000. That's $85,000. Mm-hmm. And we address that.
So, and the city treasurer can respond to this, but so the decrease in fund balance that you mentioned was the decrease for the FY18 budget. The FY18 ending fund balance is projected to be that $1,126,000. That's with doing the things that were mentioned. So, so that's where we're getting the numbers that are in the schedule that was provided to you. Keep in mind that as we're using this money, this kind of becomes a cash flow thing. As we're spending this money, we will also be replenishing this money at the same time. So revenues are going to continue to come in. The Beach Preservation Fund generates about $1 million a year. We have been doing ongoing monitoring of the shoreline, and there's monitoring built into this project budget as well. So some of what was delineated as ongoing monitoring as expenses have then been absorbed into the beach restoration project budget as well.
Some, right?
Correct.
So I still want to hear from the treasurer. Sure. That didn't answer my question.
So,
right, you know, Marie is going to want you to come to the mic so that you're captured for the record.
Okay. Laura brought me up.
Stephen, can you let her stand up there with you, please?
But don't go far.
Yeah.
So when we were calculating the amount available to potentially use to avoid issuing any debt, I deducted the budget expenditures, not including the debt service, from what's available as of December 31. So that money has already been backed out that you're mentioning about the monitoring and the legal fees associated with future beach activities. That should be an ongoing expense, though. Mm-hmm. But by the time the new budget rolls around, we'll have 6 months more of accumulated income that will cover that ongoing monitoring for next year.
Very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Debbie question, don't leave. So, I just have to get straight the beach maintenance fund versus the beach renourishment preservation fund.
Okay.
So they both have balances, mm-hmm. healthy balances.
The beach maintenance fund is the very first beach fund we ever created. and it has a little over $300,000
right,
in it.
360 something.
It will be completely spent on this project, and then that fund will go away.
Yeah. So it's already worked into the, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
The budget assumes that
okay.
money will completely be used in this new project.
I just wanted to make sure you knew it was there.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. I thought that was like perfect. There it is. Yeah. I was so happy.
And then just so everybody understands, so beach maintenance, that fund will get used and it will go away. And then beach restoration is where we hold the money for this particular project. So all the stakeholder money.
Right.
Other people's money is in there.
Grant funds.
The PRT grant that we've received is in there. The beach preservation fee is 100%.
Right.
The additional 1% accommodations taxes is captured in that fund, and that fund will continue on. Beach restoration fund will likely be spent a large part down to very little after this project is
done. Okay.
Two just quick pieces of happy news. As those of you who are on council and carried over know, and some of you just simply because I've talked to you know that one of the things that we did with this project, because it is such a large project and the city was worried about cash flow, because with most grants, the process is you front the money and then you request reimbursement and then you have to wait until reimbursement comes. And we had a lot of worry about the size of this project and how big the bills were going to be. And so we appealed to both state PRT and to FEMA to front the grants and let us true up later. And we have been successful in both of those arguments. In fact, today received our first check from FEMA concerning the Matthew losses. So there'll be a lot of accounting truing up everything, but at least it will enable the city to have the maximum liquidity it can have on this project, which gave me a lot of peace of mind because some of these bills are going to be substantial.
Okay. If I may. I would like to make a motion. I think we all want sand in our sandbox. That we fund the 25% share, $500,000, excluding the $150,000 given to us by the Wild Dunes, for 281,000 cubic yards of sand.
I'll second that.
Thank you.
Discussion. We're not borrowing any money, right?
At this point, we're not asking you to approve borrowing any money.
I like the last part, not the first.
You know, I'm always protecting the decision.
So it's 500, not 450,000.
It's 350 that we will be using. We're getting 150 from the Wild Dunes.
Okay.
Any other questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Hearing none, it passes.
Okay, so we have one other piece of business.
All right.
The rest of this was consideration of a change order in the amount of $1.8 million to Great Lakes Dredge and Dock. And I would ask that you go ahead and authorize that so that we don't have to come back to the body in the event that we won't execute it until FEMA gives us a nod. But this will enable us not to have to come back to this body to approve change ordering their contract if we're successful with our arguments with FEMA.
Right, so it does not change what we've just...
No, not at all.
All right, absolutely.
Just authorizes the actual change order to the contract.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. Let's get them while we got them, right?
Yes. Exactly.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Nays? Passes again. Thank you.
Yay. Thank you.
We like sand on our box.
And, well, it's $6 a yard.
Okay, that ends our special council meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Second. All in favor? Aye.
Just to be 100%.